Yes, it was. I thought the fishermen did well to have taken them in.
Yes.
Because at the same time, you see, the fishermen were probably hiding a U-boat, because the Germans were very artful, and what they would do would be to keep within the neutral range of a country, and we didn't invade on that, and so we wouldn't go within the 3-mile limit, and so the submarine would go along the coastline and pick up any of the fishing boats and more or less follow them out if need be, if they wanted to go out into the North Atlantic. So they waited until they went off, and then that would hide that submarine from our searching crews.
So they were mixing in with the fishing boats, and that would
they were using the neutral region to get away from their base stations, wherever they might be, and creep along the Spanish coast. And of course, they were getting more towards our where the convoys would be. And so we're getting towards where the shipping is. So, and the shipping usually go down towards Africa, and then when they've are well away from Spain, then they'll go up to the towards the west.
Another thing you said that in the spring of 1943, then a DC-3 arrived, and it brought some enemy senior officers into Gibraltar. You mentioned some Italian generals and a German general.
Yes, I can only remember uniforms. I can't remember much more about that. But they've been captured, I should imagine, in the Italian campaign, or in Sicily or somewhere around that. But and they weren't guarded. They were just more or less invited to get off the aircraft and walked away as a party. So whether they gave themselves up or been apprehended or not, I don't know.
I was going to ask whether you got any sort of impression of them just from seeing them.
Well dressed and fairly tall, and nothing more than that, really.
I mean, did you have any overall general ideas about Germans and Italians at that time?
You're asking for opinions now, are you?
Your opinions at the time, yes.
Well, I can't say that I had any political opinions at that time. I think I've developed more since then. Probably immature. No, I had no opinions, so nothing to add.
A number of other accidents you mentioned, a Spitfire disappearing in the Mediterranean. I think you'd already
dealt with that. Yes, I did that. That was after the alignment of
Alignment of guns. And then a bad accident with an aircraft P with a Beaufort. Do you remember that?
That was the aircraft that tried to land
on top of another
one.
So that
it was a Beaufort, and I couldn't remember at the time.
Yeah.
And it was a very nasty accident, was that.
I think you mentioned...
I didn't see it actually happen.
Yes.
But obviously the call went out that there was an accident, and we could all... And it set fire both to the sea and to the aircraft. And it was very nasty. It was that.
Yeah, I think you said that was really due to an error by the control tower that allowed two aircraft.
Well, in my opinion, yes, because all the aircraft had to be taxied down virtually on the runway to go to the extension that was out into the bay, and of course it had to turn round at the end, and then it would. Be in a waiting position to take off. Mm. Now, the Beaufort, I can imagine, because you could see that from the remnants it was a new one, and I reckon it had been allowed to come into land and saw that there was an aircraft on there, and he'd probably tried to steer away, and it was left too late. And so there was... one virtually landed on the back of the other, but to the it was towards the naval side of the runway, and so that the Wimpy was turned round and the actual bullfighter was in the water. Mm. But both were in trouble.
Yeah.
Fire.
Something else you mentioned is working towards the end of May for 48 Squadron. Do you remember how that happened? Working for a different squadron on a sort of loan basis.
Can't remember.
No. Well, we'll come back to that later.
I'll think about that, but
yeah.
I remember the incident.
It's just
I can't
short,
even remember the aircraft.
No, it's just a short mention. And then you mentioned early in June an Avro York, which you seem to have approved of.
Ah. This, I believe, brought important persons, and it quite possibly could have been somebody like Churchill or something like that. Mm. And I know that there was one of the government people, but I can't recall the name. Mm. That I have a feeling it was used as an important person transport aircraft.
Ah.
And that was further down, away from our own aircraft. It was more towards the where the frontier crossing was, and it was in isolation, and it was kept that way. And I thought it was a beautiful aircraft. It looked like a bigger version than a Wellington, and it so turned out to be that it. Was that way, and of course it had Hercules engines again, so we knew that. Mm. And we thought it would replace them, but I believe it eventually was given four engines and called a Stirling. Mm. But that's opinion, I don't know.
How did the Hercules then differ from the Pegasus as an engine?
Ah, well, it was a far more powerful engine. Whereas the Pegasus, if you lost some power on the engine, then it was a question of keep the aircraft going, get rid of the weight as much as you could, and hopefully make it back. And there was always a one-wing drop that they had to compensate for so that they couldn't fly straight. Sidetracking, if you like, towards where you wanted to be. Mm. Now, with the more powerful engine, then it was well able to fly on one engine. And but I've seen aircraft come back with propellers feathered, which before never happened. Mm. So you see them with a one-engine landing. Mm. Now, that's not easy on the restrictions that we had on the rock.
How did they make it more powerful? Was it bigger physically, or did it have more pots in it? What was the difference?
Now, I can't recall, but it was physically bigger, so I should imagine that, that there were more pots to it. I can only understand that it would be another version of the original engine, but it was more covered in. And I know that there had to be changes, but I can't tell you what.
Another thing that happened was that you mentioned there was an occasion where you'd forgotten to sign a Form 700, and that got you into hot water.
It did. Can't even remember what. I think I'd done a daily inspection. I'd been allocated to do that and done it. And because that I always relied on the people above me to sign for me, I didn't take responsibility of what I'd done. It was overlooked, and of course the air crew wouldn't take the aircraft off until it was signed. Mm. And therefore I was called to duty, and I got really told off about it, and rightly so. Now, I didn't see the 700, so I don't know whether it was in the duty office or whether it was on the aircraft. Now, it should stay on the pilot's seat in the aircraft. Mm. That was its permanent residence. And so somebody should go on the aircraft, do the work, And when you were satisfied, you should sign it before you leave.
But you're saying you didn't normally sign the 700?
I didn't
then?
Normally sign it, no. Mm.
Somebody else?
Usually the sergeant would sign it.
Ah. And can you think of why it was the sergeant hadn't done that on this occasion?
I've no idea. I just got the... Because they told who had done it, and of course they asked me, and I said, yes, I've done the aircraft. Mm. And I'm told off that I hadn't signed it. I said, well, that was it. I didn't see it.
Was this a routine check that you'd done on it? The routine daily?
Yes. It was nothing out of the ordinary.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you were told off by a Sergeant Goodman. Was he your usual sergeant?
Yes, he was the sergeant of the ground staff.
What sort of man was he? How did he treat you?
Do you know, now you've mentioned his name, it was him that took my LAC.
Board.
Board.
Yeah.
And it was a very fair man. He didn't give you orders. Invariably, it was written up for you. He'd do his paperwork beforehand, so it was just a matter of going see what was necessary. And if you'd missed one, he'd come and chase me out and say, "Well, you haven't done so and so, or have you done so and so?" You know, find out what was going on. Nothing more than that. Yeah. Very little contact with him, really.
Was he another one of the pre-war regular?
I would say he was. He struck me as that very proficient, and he was no problems with any of the staff at all while working.
What sort of age was he?
Oh, I should say 30-ish, round about there.
Sounds like a career NCO.
I would think so.
Another case you mentioned of a dinghy that failed because it had been stabbed, that this was on aircraft A. It sank after it had been... Yeah. Now, how would it come about that it could have been stabbed?
If you think of the aircraft dinghy like that, then you had the valve here, seated area there. Now, on the inside here was bits and pieces. So you had bungs of different sizes, rubber bungs, but amongst these you had a curved knife like that. And the whole idea was that curved knife could be removed and it was to cut the tying cable back to the aircraft.
So you could drift free.
So you could free yourself because you couldn't break it with your hands. It was had to wait for the aircraft to sink for it to have broken off. I imagine there was a weak link in it. So the whole aim was that you use that knife, but you had to take it out of its slot. It had like a rubber slot like that, made up of a band, and you had to take it out of there. Now, if anybody was careless and just caught any of the rubber, that would cause it to go down.
While you were removing it, for instance?
Probably so, and if you're doing it in the dark and you've just got yourself out of water, you're not in a fit state to think what's going to happen next. You're just thankful. And of course, if these bungs of three sizes were big enough to fill what they'd done, then you were in trouble.
The bungs are for repair, are they?
Yes, if you had a small, say something on the metalwork of the aircraft, punctured any of it, then you just screwed these in. They were very coarse, so something like that.
Yeah.
And it was tapered.
Yeah, so you could screw it in until
it fitted. Screw it in until you got something like of a seal, and then you leave it at that. Mm. Right?
I see. So I understand that.